Podcast, your source for TCG news and all things Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm Lucas.
I'm Hot and Ruben.
And I'm Steve.
Hi, Hot.
We've got new members on the podcast.
Yeah, we got Hot and Steve.
Hot and Steve. Hot and Steve.
Actually, when do we get the Hot Steve merch? You know what I'm saying?
Hot Steve.
Hot Steve. Speaking of merch, there will be the winner of the giveaway announced at the end of this episode. So you have to listen to all of it. In fact, we might do it 10 minutes before the end. So you can't skip to the end.
I'm sure we'll also post a comment on the video.
Yeah,
just to let someone know that they're not just having to fish through an hour long.
No, you're all hostage. You gotta listen to the face.
Give us the listening hours.
Give us the engagement. We need to monetize these. I swear to God. Anyway.
Well, speaking of monetization, people just lost a lot of money. We're here today talking about the latest and greatest in all things Yu-Gi-Oh! And the OCG. This is the hottest news off the press. The OCG have received the latest update. Always, I wanted to say, before we get started, I love that their ban list get announced in V-Jump.
I love their ban list come out on time.
And they actually have a date. And it was a sensible ban list, I have to say. Just from first glance, you guys have obviously seen it by the time I sent it to you in the morning, but when I woke up and saw it, I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Notified me. My phone gave me an actual Twitter notification. I was like, God, they know.
They do. And guess what? We're here to talk about it. So this is hot off the press. This was revealed today at the time of recording, which is the 14th of March, 6:45 p.m. So this is a pretty, pretty impactful OCG ban list. 21 changes for reference. 21 adjustments have been made on this list. And this list goes into effect April 1st. So I don't believe it doesn't correspond with any new product releasing. I think the most recent product coming out in Japan will be Tactical Masters. But I guess without further ado, why don't we start breaking down this list? First up, Lucas, what's the first card that's gone?
I mean, at first glance, this list looks pretty good because Io and Verte are banned. Any comments? Anyone crying?
I don't know the OCG too well, but I'm assuming that Io does the same thing there than it does here, so... That definitely needed to go. Verte is one that we've spoken about quite a lot here in the TCG, and obviously they've had branded for a while. Maybe that was a way of touching kind of that deck. But I feel like this is possibly going to lead on to our ban list. Maybe not the next one, but the following one for Verte. I feel like they're going to give us the branded at full power for at least one format. But yeah.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I think Verte's time is done. I mean, I often find that ban lists, you have to wait for cards to kind of get hit, or at least the archetypes they support get hit, and they just keep showing up before they'll actually do something about it.
Yeah, I think in terms of Verte, obviously the big factor is that we've had it for a lot less time than Japan has had it. I think what we received it mid-2020, and I think they've had it since the end of 2019. So they've had this card for three and a bit years.
Actually, just thinking about it now as well, OCG doesn't have Dragoon. And at the point before this ban list, without spoiling it too much, they also had Fusion Destiny. So didn't have Fusion Destiny. I mean, it was banned at the time before this.
Yeah.
So Verte was just a way of getting you a super poly or maybe a branded fusion. So I guess it wasn't as strong. So I kind of contradicted myself a bit. And I suppose it probably needs to be touched more in the TCG. But yeah.
No, I mean, the thing is, the TCG has a habit of sort of banning around a card and then seeing how it goes, right? We saw that with Hulk. Everyone was like, oh, Hulk got to get banned. They got to ban Hulk. And then they banned a bunch of other crap. And then Hulk is like, oh, it's fine. We can deal with it, right?
And then it comes back again.
But Union Carrier was another card where it's like, okay, well, ban the Buster Wolf. And then the next list, they were like, nah, that didn't actually do anything. Let's ban Union Carrier.
This is still good.
This card's still crazy. And I think OCG did the same thing where they're like, okay, we banned Dragoon. All right, we banned Fusion Destiny. All right, fine. We'll ban Verte because obviously, no matter what power card, whatever payoff we decide to ban next. If Verte just sends polymerization, it's still like a crazy link too. Like, that's as good as link shadow construct, basically, but generic. So if you look at it from that metric, there's no reason for any kind of generic combo deck to not just play like a Verte package. Not to mention you could play Rainbow Neos, you can play the branded stuff, Super Poly. It just seems like way too good for a link monster that doesn't have any requirement. I mean, 2,000 life points, I guess. So it makes sense that it's gone. IO, we don't need to talk about. We all know why IO is banned.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this is like a decision they didn't want to do because they have the new fusion, the Predaplant support in Dimension Force. Like, I'm sure they would have liked to have like Anaconda be a part of the strategy that they wanted to introduce in Dimension Force. But I think it's just a touch too generic, which is the biggest issue. Like, even if the card said two effect monsters, including a Predaplant, like, I think they still only have one Orphis Scorpio, so even at that point, it's, you know, it's a matter of, its accessibility is just it's too accessible. And I think what we're seeing is just the concerns that people have with, it's at one, I'm correct, Orphis Scorpio is at one in Japan. So, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, they didn't want to make this kind of a hit, but I think it's a necessary evil to go. Like, it's just too good. It also
seems terrible in Predaplants. Like, this card should say you can't special summon for the rest of the turn except Predaplants, right? Because how do you use this in Predaplants? You super poly your opponent's board and then you pass. That's ass. Like, that's so bad. So, like, this card doesn't even... I saw Predaplant replays. They were summoning DPE with this card. Would you summon a Predaplant monster?
I won't go into it too much now. I'll do a little report after. But Verte would probably be the card I saw the most at our regional. Like, walking around the tables, it was just Verte, DPE, Scythe. Everywhere. Like, and there'll be a Dagda on the board too. And it does promote, like, kind of an unhealthy format. Not to mention the adventure package, which was just everywhere on the weekend. Like, there was 4 PK adventure decks. And, like, all I saw was... It was kind of like PK was just a supporting act to Verte, DPE, and Scythe. Like,
it is.
And it kind of is. Like, it's just boring. Like, I'm
what better monster is there from the extra deck than Verte?
There isn't.
Like, Hulk. It's better than Appaloosa. It's better than Hulk.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather summon a Verte than a Hulk when I'm behind.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
So, two bans. And they were both notably, they went from 1 to 0.
Then 3 limits. They brought back Fusion Destiny to 1.
Which is
and
okay.
Then they hit the crap out of Adventure. We're talking one Enchantress, one Rite. And this is exactly what I think is going to happen here eventually.
Mm.
Yeah, this isn't a surprise. If anyone does keep up with Japanese meta, Adventure is still the most represented deck in every single meta. It's basically the engine for all except Fluanderese. And it's just... We've played with it now. It's been out for coming up nearly 2 months in the TCG, and it's pretty much just as prevalent.
It's probably Konami's biggest mistake in a while, I'd say.
I think, they wanted to kind of revitalize a particular strategy, and it's just, it's too good.
What does it revitalize?
I guess...
Equip spells?
Potentially... I think
tokens don't need any help, dude.
it could also be a scenario of like they wanted to introduce a different play style. Like, again, the whole functionality of Adventure is that you can't use your normal summon effects, so it's almost like a pathway into a different category. Maybe my arms are tired from reaching too hard.
Yeah, maybe they were just like, people are normal summoning Alistair too much. Let's print an archetype that says you can't normal summon Alistair and then make it so much better than Alistair that no one's going to play Alistair. That's it, right? They were just so mad about all the normal summon Alistair jokes. They were like, fine, here's a much worse problem. Here's a much bigger problem that we just shouldn't have printed. Just go away. Great engine. Love it. Love playing with it. I win games. That's all I have to say about it.
So good. I think, yes. Yeah, John?
Yeah, I think personally we'll follow the trend of the OCG where I feel like maybe in our May ban list we'll see it go to 2-2 just because it's so new, it's so expensive. If it went to 1 straight away, I mean, I can't
that
think
puts
of
a
too...
real bad taste in people's mouths.
It does, and I can't think of too many engines or cards in the past where they didn't get to live at least like a format in a bit. Like, I know there was an emergency ban list on Pepe, but, like, I don't know. Like, this is a $500 engine. I don't see...
An emergency ban list, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Pepe
no,
was,
No, it
yeah.
was scheduled.
Pepe? They had a scheduled ban list and then a follow-up extra ban.
Follow-up
ban
E-ban,
list.
Yeah. Okay. Just before the YCS Sydney, I believe it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but...
We've talked about this before. I think it was after.
Yeah.
But, no, I think it came into effect after.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, I just don't see them... hidden a $500 plus engine that fast, because as you say, it would leave a very bad taste in a lot of people's mouths and a lot of people out of pocket. So I just don't see them doing it super fast.
The weird thing about this engine is when it inevitably gets hit on the ban list, I don't know how long it stays and whether it ever comes back. Because if you think about Pepe, even like no one liked Pepe unless you were playing Pepe. So like, when that got hit, everyone's like, good riddance, stay away, Pepe. And over time, we've seen some of those cards come back, and there's a sort of affinity, and everyone goes like, oh, I really want Monkey Board again. I really want Plush Fire. You know, like, let's bring that back. There's kind of like a love for that stupid deck. Who is going to feel that way about Adventure? It came and went. It just feels like this wave of, I guess more like a Shockmaster than anything, where it's just like, this is the best thing you can be doing until it's banned. And then when it's banned, it can stay the hell banned.
I know people have definitely said things like this before, but like the only way to kind of ever bring it back would be power creep. And I don't know how you power creep Revenge Token.
I really don't know. That feels like such an endeavor to attempt to create something better than this resource generation. That honestly verges on broken, and I think a lot of people would already tell you that the Adventure engine is very close to, if not a broken design.
I think the closest analog would be Brilliant Fusion, a card that just can't come back. And maybe it's less of a power creep and more of like a, they're gonna not do this for a while and then forget about it and then do it again. Because this is basically just Brilliant Fusion, right? Like a generic engine with a couple garnets that you put into every deck and just makes every deck better. It feels very similar, maybe without the added bonus Brilliant Fusion gets of just foolishing anything, which was pretty funny.
So this was the three limits. So obviously Fusion Destiny is probably the last one to talk about, going from 0 to 1. This makes sense.
Gotta search something off your new brand of Fusion.
Yeah, the new Dimensional Force or Dimension Force Albus Fusion can search this. Also, it does provide Destroy Phoenix Enforcer back into the meta, which is super interesting because this was banned last list.
There's also hero support coming out, so they don't want to keep hero cards banned. Like, that's 100% what I think it is. Is they want to sell the new Neo hero stuff, whatever is in Power of the Elements. They can't just hit hero cards. Moving on to the Japanese space.
Semi-limited.
Semi-limited. Some weird stuff in here. I love it.
Yeah, so 10 semi-limits, 4 of which were from 3 to 2. Oh no, this is 12. I can't count. So 12 semi-limits, 4 of which went from 3 to 2, and 8 that went from 1 to 2. So we've had 8 progressions down and 4 progressions up. I think probably we should start with the progressions up. So from 3 to 2, you've got Elixir of Scarlet Sanguine, Pot of Prosperity, Branded Opening, and Tri Brigade Fractal. They hit Fractal.
Something the TCG refuses to do, which is very funny.
They've hit Fractal, a deck that has just skirted by and has never just consistently is like the topic of conversation in every single ban list.
The Phantom Rage archetypes just stay winning.
Well, they only have 1 Torn Scales.
That's true.
Yeah, so they've got 1 Torn Scales. So yeah, this is probably 1.5 years, in the making. We have Pot of Prosperity moving from 3 to 2. This is to all those haters that said that they want you to buy Prosperity. Me, I am the haters. This is very fascinating.
They're like, we'll hit that too. You thought you were safe. We'll hit every pot. Pot of Generosity, your time is numbered.
I'm really glad I can still pay 3 Pot of Dichotomy. It's,
exactly.
I woke up and was able to breathe. Branded Opening, moving from 3 to 2. This is the lightest tap on the shoulder that is for Branded.
Yeah.
This isn't a hit.
It's a bit of a...
It is,
Meh.
You could just play two of this.
Yeah. You absolutely could. And then finally, Elixir of Scarlet Sanguine. This is super interesting. They only have one Eldland, so I would almost think that there's potentially a new trap-based archetype coming out. And Konami are hinting to a new strategy that you may want to pick up in the next deck building set and progress away from the Age of Gold to the Age of Silver.
Mm. Especially because Eldritch and Labyrinth just don't synergize. So you can't just slam Eldritch in it, which is great.
Yes. And then 8 semi-limits from 1 to 2. Yeah, these are very interesting.
These are funny because a bunch of these I would call like coward spots on the ban list. Notably the first one, because Night Assailant is like it's a problem from like 15 years ago. Everyone's like, oh my god, if you have two Night Assailant, imagine you can loop Night Assailant.
Wow.
It's like, girl, I can activate Fusion Destiny. Like, no one will do that. You kidding me?
Yeah, doll, I'm not sweating bullets over two Night Assailants.
Yeah, Divine Wind of Mist Valley, completely fine. Doesn't matter.
Cool. A really cool card.
Like, just like, who is going to do Mist Valley loops? Who?
Someone.
I would like to see
Naibo, I guess. Yeah. He'll find a way.
Harmonizing Magician from 1 to 2. This is interesting. I forget how much harder they hit Pendulum Magicians in Japan. But this makes sense. Harmonizing Magician is a 3+1. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're wanting to promote pendulum-based strategies after the release of Dimension Force, as well as, obviously, I know you can't play it in Valiance because they lock you into Valiance from main deck. But this is, I think, again, Relic of a Bygone Era. I think same could be said for probably the next one, which is Zen Mighty. This is... Mama.
Well, they ban Hunter, so like they can do this. They can have all this stuff. We can't. That is that easy.
Yeah. And then Harp Horror, very interesting to Harp. I believe, again, they only have one Gearsu and one Galatea. So there is a touch of a trade-off there.
Harp is like the better card than Gearsu, though. Like, we all agree, right?
Absolutely.
Harp
so much better.
Yeah.
Harp does say +1.
Yeah.
Gearsu is conditionally.
You know, Harp can only be Ashed, I think, is like the main. You know, Gearsu can be everything.
Oh, it's the Skullmeister erasure for me.
Harp is kind of like the key to the deck, I suppose. Like, to make it
absolutely
like what it is. Yeah.
We got none.
We've got zero. What we have one more of, though, is Raigeki, which has moved from 1 to 2. I think it's probably a similar trend to what they've seen in the TCG. Like,
I feel
as
like...
As much as Raigeki is crazy, I think it's, you know, it's fine.
It's good, but I don't know, like, ever since it's come to free, I've not felt like it's overly oppressive or anything. I feel like it's fine. Like, it's okay to be around. And maybe the OCG have played it way too cautiously yet again by... having another semi-limit on this, and they could have just chucked this straight to free. They could have looked at the TCG gone, it's not destroying their format, let's just chuck it back to free, you know. But, oh well, they do what they do.
Yeah, beginning of the end, moving from 1 to 2, again, forgot that this was...
You just thought that card hadn't loaded?
Yeah, no, I honestly did not know it was even on their list. To be honest,
again, I think this is only the victim of deep draw. This was like a danger dark.
Yeah, they've
deep
got all
draw.
The dangers, all unlimited, I think, or at least only slightly semi limited. So
yeah,
there's a reason that they had to limit this card.
And then finally, Trishula. This card does not need to be.
What do you mean you can hand loop for two now? That's broken.
Three. It's Cyframe Lord Omega.
Oh my god! Well, imagine all the decks that are going to turbo three Trishulas and pass. I sure hope no one draws one card starters that win them the game after that.
Yeah. Or a Raigeki.
Or Raigeki.
Or a Gethki, I guess, yeah. I sure hope no one summons Alaba and then wins the game. It makes no sense that Trishula is still just limited. It's weird.
Again, it's like a fear of a bygone era. It's like Night Assailant and Trishula kind of bookend these semi-limits. Yeah. It's just potentially over-caution. Which is fine. Like, I'm happy to see a game that is potentially cautious about what they do want to provide more copies to in the game, but these are cards I think a lot of people who have understood the game or been a part of the game for the extended period of time have seen the power creep that has occurred, and it's no longer a concern of, you know, oh, I can double Trishula someone on turn one and they start with four cards in their hand, or I can... effectively continue to discard Night Assailants and never lose card advantage in my hand because I have a quote-unquote free discard. You know, it's not really... I'm not really like chomping at the bit for these.
These cards remind me of like Tribal Infecting Virus when they came off. It was like, oh,
yeah,
okay. Yeah, there's so many cards on the ban list, which we go over every single painful choice, and like just in any ban list discussion, where you're like, oh yeah, that's still banned. Oh yeah, that can just come off. You know, you don't even bother talking about it because you're like, it doesn't do anything. It's just on there because they've almost forgotten to take it back off.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Fascinating. Any of these do you think would apply to the current, to TCG? Do you think we'd see any of these move from...
Yeah, Night Assailant. They just reprinted it.
Yep. I could see Trishula, they just reprinted it.
Fractal, maybe.
If they really want to progress people into new decks, I can see it. You know, such as the updated, you know, the updated strategies coming out in Dimension Force. But realistically, I don't believe that it would be too much. I would honestly would like to see some form of a Eldritch hit. I believe that that's potentially the most likely to occur. I realistically believe that Eldritch has probably been around for too long. So it makes sense to me for it to maybe start to take the wayside.
Eldritch seems to do this thing where like it comes out really, really strong at the start of every format. It kind of reminds me of Altergeist in that way, where it has a really strong showing, and then like over when the format progresses, it drops off. Everyone forgets about it before the ban list occurs, and then it's back again. So like, I feel like it's kind of one of those decks. I mean, right now it's pretty good, but yeah, overall.
I agree. I think that the limits are definitely correct, or the semi-limits in this case. I think the only really notable one would be the Pot of Prosperity. I think speaking to a lot of OCG players, they really anticipated Desires going to one. Lucas, what do you think about Prosperity to two?
It's funny that, because they still have three Desires, or they have two Desires?
Two Desires, yeah. I believe.
It's funny that like we just had the discussion about Desires going to one here and people going, oh, this is to make people buy Prosperity. It's like, maybe both of these cards are a problem. Like, they are auto-includes in so many decks.
Yeah, speaking with... Oh, I guess we can go to over the winners and losers afterwards. So moving on to the unlimits. There were four. So first of all, which was Metaverse. This makes sense to me. Obviously, they don't have Mystic Mine, so that's fine. It's a normal trap for the Labyrinth archetype, so that also can kind of confirm to me. Some card that summons a hero from deck, I don't know what it does. We've got Memories of Hope. Again, I don't believe they have Zexal, and I don't know about Numeron. I wouldn't assume it's too impactful. And then finally, Multifaker from 2 to 3. I guess this is, again, it's an interesting scenario for these trap-based strategies. I think that there's not a lot to, you know, not a lot to expect, especially with a new one just on the horizons in Japan. I guess, Lucas, what are your thoughts on these unlimits? Is there anything that you... I would like to see happen over into the TCG, or do you think anything is quite likely?
I mean, two of these four cards are unlimited here.
Yeah.
Three of these four cards are not Metaverse.
No, Metaverse is that one.
Obviously, Mystic Mind would make Metaverse just probably a little bit too strong. It's a really good get for Guru players. It's probably the only thing I'd say about Metaverse. I mean, you can play a lot of field spell decks, but I think Guru is like the one that I think of when it comes to... needing their field spell, but you could also say that about Mr. Rune or the Labyrinth deck, or even the Bloody Valiant. They're all field spell decks. So,
that's a great point.
Does make sense. Plus, when we get to it, the new Punk card is a field spell.
Yes.
And then Hero Lives to Three. I don't know. They could do that here.
Yeah, Joe. Anything that you think could definitely transition over here? In terms of like, do you see us getting three Metaverse or three Mystic Mine or three Hero Lives?
If we lose Mystic Mine, then yeah, sure, Metaverse can come back to three. Hero Lives is, yeah, but that's fine. Let heroes have their time. The one I like to talk about, Multifaker going to three. I mean, like, to be honest, Altergeist now kind of feel like just the old model of trap deck. And, like, there's so many of these new trap decks that have come out that kind of just do a slightly better job than what Altergeist do. They're still a good deck, and they can still, like, win games if, you know, they take control of the board and, like, gain that advantage. They are very much like a momentum deck, like, thinking of the ball rolling. Once you get the ball rolling, it's very hard to stop them, is what I'm trying to say. But like all these other trap decks just kind of do it more effectively than them. Like if I was to say rank trap decks, like obviously at the moment, Eldritch is probably the top one. Maybe like, When that new one comes out, that could be the one that topples Eldritch as the best deck. And then the Eldegoss kind of just sits in this realm of, like, it feels like the old toy that you just, you know, it's just not quite as good anymore. Like,
because
it's
you have to play a bunch of bad monsters.
Yeah, it's right? kind of like
you
having...
You have to play Silk, you have to play Marionetta. Like, these cards aren't very good.
No.
Like, Multifaker is obviously crazy, but you can't just play a deck that's 3 Multifaker and then 37 trap cards, which is kind of how Eldritch is built, so...
I'll describe Eldegoss as like an old model Xbox sitting on your shelf. Like, you can plug it in and still have fun, but like, it's not as good as your brand new Xbox you got out in the lounge, you know? So, yeah, I guess it's kind of like that with them. And Eldegoss being having Multifaker at 3 for them won't change anything for it.
Yeah, also I think Eldegoss is like is the kind of old trap deck design. Like, it is... Yes. You look at, like, Eldritch and obviously Labyrinth, which we haven't discussed on here, but we've definitely read quite thoroughly. That's like a new wave of design, especially Labyrinth, considering that every card in their deck is searchable within their own archetype, which is something that, obviously, not even Eldritch had. Like, being Cursed Eldland, you can't search Cursed Eldland. And then, obviously, things like Guru and Altergeist had the harder task of, you know, the field spell and a continuous trap. Obviously, Guru probably getting the lightest load of that one because it was a field spell, so it wasn't as hard to find. But, you know, things like personal spoofing, things like hidden city, they are unsearchable, so you have to find a way to get to them. And like, while Cursed Eldland is obviously quite a powerful continuous spell, you do still have to find it. But I think the resource generation it can provide is above the level of something like a personal spoofing or like a hidden city.
Well, it's more that like Eldritch doesn't need Cursed Eldland to combo.
Yeah.
But Guru and Altergeist can't do anything without spoofing or hidden city.
Exactly.
All they can do is rely on, like, hopefully my opponent can't beat the 4 trap cards that I drew because I can't beat them if they set up a board. And it's interesting because Labyrinth is a crazy looking trap deck. And I think what it's illustrated about trap decks is that they need to have like no monsters in them is the thing. And Eldritch and Labyrinth have both demonstrated Eldritch with trap monsters and Labyrinth with hand traps that, yeah, the best way to build a trap deck is give them monsters that just aren't really monsters.
Yeah.
They're either traps technically because the Labyrinth cards can discard themselves to set traps. Eldritch monsters are traps. That's kind of what trap decks look like these days. And I think Dinomorphia is another good example where like they're using the extra deck, not like main deck monsters, to enable their plays. Mysteroon is using like instant fusion to get monsters on field as opposed to having to run crappy monsters in your quick play spell deck. It all kind of feels like Sky Striker sort of like gave us the groundwork for how to do a good control deck, and they've just been kind of making different versions of Sky Striker over and over again. Which I'm down for. That's a good deck.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a way to progress forward. So I guess final thoughts on this one. Who do we think are the winners of this OCG ban list? Obviously, it's a bit tough because it's a completely different format.
We don't play OCG format.
But, you know, based on what we've seen in terms of OCG meta reports, who do you think are people that are decks that got away with basically no hits?
Without knowing the meta too much, like, I guess Fractal to 2 doesn't change that much for Tri Brigade. So I don't know if they have any other hits or they're missing anything else, but like, I feel like that deck would still be fine. Branded would still be completely fine considering it has free branded fusion still. Other than that, maybe Orcus, but then again they don't have the Gearsu. Well, they have Gearsu at 1, is it?
They have 1 Gearsu.
Yeah, so
I don't
like
think Orcus will do too much now.
Nah, not really. Adventurer is obviously the biggest loser.
Yes.
Will we ever see that engine be played in the OCG anymore? I don't know.
They played probably 2 gamma, so they'll play the one-offs.
I think I spoke to you guys earlier today about it, and like, if there's a deck that can just like turbo out a Beatrice without like even thinking, and then just dump the Brave engine to grave, like, and get going, like it could still see play. But like, apart from that, I don't know. Like, you got 2 gamma, two. Oh, you know, I guess you're right. They did run 1 and 1 for gamma and driver. So yeah, I would
still play it in V-dub if it was 1 and 1, but more like the way I play Necrolord Banshee or Token Collector. Like, it would be played as like, this is a cool thing I can send off Beatrice to get a negate. I'd cut Draco back it would just be like one Rite, one Enchantress, one Fateful, one Griffin, which is a pretty hefty engine, but it's probably still better than just making Crystal Wing. And I guess Phantom Knights might still play it just because like they need it, and Cherubini's still a card. But yeah, I don't think anyone plays one-on-one as like a generic engine every deck.
Yeah.
And that makes me interested in what the format will do, because we're kind of in the whirlwind of adventure now. They get to live out the post-adventure but mid-branded lifestyle. You know, do we see more elaborate branded decks than the adventure branded deck that was just the best deck?
Yeah. Or, I mean, Adventure Tenyi, that was... That's definitely gone now.
I mean, that kills Pile. If they kill Adventure, they kill Pile, right? Because Pile can't do crap without Adventure. It's just a bad Hulk deck.
I think a notable winners, obviously speaking with like my OCG people and keeping up with the meta, a Drytron, once again, not hurt. The rumor going into this ban list was that people were clamoring for an Auroradon ban. And I think that, you know, that makes sense. I think a lot of people would be interested to see Auroradon get hit here. I wouldn't put it past them. Obviously, Floanderese, huge winners of this this format. Yeah, it's interesting because they are just played so, like, the strategy and the way it's played is so different, especially in Japan, because they obviously don't special summon. So Maxi has never been a cause for concern for them, which is really an interesting like place to be, because we do understand how much the OCG format is dictated by Maxi. So to think that there's a deck that basically bypasses the oppression that is Maxi is very fascinating.
I'd be interested to talk to an OCG player in like a heavy full under meta. Like, do people side it? Because a lot of decks don't main Maxi. Like, you often see it show up in side decks. And I wonder if that is because decks like Eldritch and Floanderese were just so popular that you didn't want to have a dead card in your main deck. You know, that's the kind of weird argument about Maxi, is that if it's in the format, everyone builds decks that don't lose to it, and it gets worse.
Yeah, I believe even Floanderese don't main it because it obviously conflicts with Shifter.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was even reading an article today, they don't play Call by the Grave because it also conflicts with Shifter. And, you know, if you were to get Ashed anyway, the Ash would be banished under Shifter, so Call by functionally doesn't achieve anything. Very interesting goings on. I think this is a super interesting ban list. I guess before we move on, any final thoughts? Do we think much of this will translate over? Do we think that this is never going to see any implication of the TCG?
I think Adventure hits and Verte, probably. I think Verte is very much feeling in that camp of like, they're going to start hitting the pieces and then realize that they just need to hit the problem. Not that Verte is the only problem card. I'm sure a lot of OCG players are kind of sitting there with their three branded fusions going like, yeah, okay. I can still draw this.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And Joe, do you think anything that'll carry over?
I mean, the only thing I can see coming in our next ban list that's on here would be the Verte. Other than that, maybe the Fractal hit, but I don't think they will do it again after hitting Bird so hard in the last ban list. But who knows?
It depends if they want the May ban list, or whenever this ban list will occur in the TCG, because again, we don't have dates. If they want this to be like the okay new deck time kind of ban list, you know, because we've seen those kind of ban lists before where we read the ban list, they go, okay, time to play the new stuff, kids. Like, put down your old toys, we've got new ones for you. So I think it could, it depends if the May or the you know, the ban list close to Dimension Force is similar to that kind of vein.
They definitely have to be careful with it, with the May time kind of thing, because, I mean, I know Dimension Force is out there, but like, it doesn't really introduce too many new things. It kind of just builds upon some stuff that we've got already. And then, I suppose, is Dimension Force the one with the pendulum card? It is, isn't it? Yeah,
beyond the pendulum.
Yeah, so I guess they might want to push that a bit. They might bring some pendulum stuff back, who knows? But, like, they need to be careful, because if they hit too many of the other decks, we're just going to be living in a branded world, and it's going to be really, really yuck for, like...
Oh, that's inevitable.
You know, for I mean, it's going to be like that anyway, but I want there to be other decks that can compete, at least. And if they decide to, like, crush everything else that's been before, it literally just leaves branded, and, like, that's going to be one of those horrible super poly formats, so...
It'd be nice if I could still play V-Dub. I just hope they don't hit that deck,
because...
If I have to, it's like if they hit like all the kind of fringe tier 2 decks that are like good still, that is a problem. I mean, if they hit Adventure, they hit Adventure. I'm not mad about that. Yeah, it is kind of looking like Daifo is going to be a bit of a flop set just because it's overshadowed by, like, the massive impact of Branded and Adventure. I just don't see anything in that set that's going to be like, yeah, that's the next tier one deck. That's the next crazy thing that's coming out.
It seems to be
really only like Therion and Scareclaw. Like
neither of which are very good. Like, really,
is there punk cards in there as well or not?
There is a punk card.
Yeah, there's a really good one, right?
There is a very good punk card in Dimension Force, which I guess segues on quite nicely to kind of discussing some of the new support. I guess before we don't have to read the entire list, but obviously we've seen the last archetype in Tactical Masters, all except for one card. And that's Labyrinth. Obviously, we've talked about it with the, you know, its comparison to Eldritch, but I would love to know what you guys think about this archetype and its design going forward as kind of a place. Just your thoughts. I'm actually just I'm trying to like articulate it, but I just want to know your thoughts on it, Lucas. Because
I think it's probably the best pure trap deck that has been designed in the last while. It feels cooler than Eldritch. It feels more versatile than Eldritch because there's a lot of different ways you can take removing your opponent's monsters by trap effects in a relevant way. I think the monsters are crazy. Just all insane. Like the main boss monster, cracked. Can't respond to my traps. Awesome. They're all super poly now. You can set a trap from grave every turn. Great. This is just better than Marionetta. You can...
I just want to touch real quickly. It is normal trap based. That's the strategy.
Yeah. Like, this is normal trap Stri-Striker, right? Like, this is just play all of the traps and, like, the monsters in your hand are just hand traps that set traps. There's basically no monsters in this deck except for a Stratos, a huge boss monster that can reset traps and makes everything non-responsive and destroys cards in your opponent's hand. And they get a multi-faker, of course. Yeah. So it's good. I'm really excited. I think it looks like the kind of trap deck that I like. It's not floodgate-based. It is interactive-based. It looks like it might be too strong, though. It looks like once it gets going, I just don't think literally any deck can beat it. So it's like Red Reboot or bust. And, you know, that card's a one. So good luck.
Yeah, and I guess, Joe, you're probably obviously very aware of the impact of being able to... impact or just the strength of being able to impact someone's hand. What are your thoughts on the boss monster having the ability to either destroy a card on field or in your opponent's hand?
I think it's a very interesting thing to do with a card. I haven't read it properly, but I'm assuming it is a hard once per turn, so it's not going to enable hand loops. So that's nice. Like, I don't think it's going to become like a hand loopy problem. Remove an advantage from another player's hand is like one of the strongest things you can do in Yu-Gi-Oh! So it's a good base for the deck to kind of go off. Like, it's a good boss monster for it to have. And yeah, like, I'm quite excited to see what it does. I hope it kind of takes over from Eldritch, because I think we're all bored of people just flipping up, you know, there can only skill be drain. One and like skill drain and just like floodgates and not wanting to play Yu-Gi-Oh! At least this promotes at least kind of playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, you're interacting
you literally
with what
have
your
to
opponent
let them play
does.
Yu-Gi-Oh! Yeah. Your stuff only works if you remove opponent's monsters by card effect. You have to let them play Yu-Gi-Oh!
So
the main issue with this deck is Dimensional Barrier and Sanctum are both normal traps. So, at some point you do start to think, like, there's a lot of generic normal trap support. This deck's playing Trap Trick. This deck's playing a lot of other crap that's just going to enable Sanctum and Dimensional Barrier setups. That's not how I want this deck to be good, but it probably will end up being how this deck is good.
I mean, I'd love to know. I think Dimensional Barrier is an interesting one because it's really only pops up when there is the mechanics that it can deal with. I'd love to know if going forward, obviously we don't get Tactical Masters until June, so you can anticipate definitely another ban list in between. I'd love to know if there's, you know, if it has the implications or the strength, you know, if the floodgate effects such as Dimensional Barrier and Sanctum are as impactful going forward when that set comes out.
Branded.
But again, we don't know how long that'll last. We don't know if that's actually going to be as successful as people think it will be here.
There's so definitely going to be a strength to calling Fusion on Dimensional Barrier.
Yeah,
I feel like that card is just going to stay until people start Link Summoning again, which is not super common these days.
No.
Moving on to the other support. Supporting some old deck building sets, there were two new Exorcista and Punk cards announced. that are pretty nuts. Ruben, do you want to read through them?
Yeah, so we've got a new Exorcista monster and a new Exorcista trap. Obviously, first thing is that they list Exorcista, so they are all searchable. Mulfa, which is your new monster, has the ability to special summon itself from hand if you control no monsters or all monsters you control or exceeds material. Something similar to, you know, like the Tutu, how it can be normal summoned. Honestly, that's the same clause as Griffin Rider. No monsters or all monsters you control are X, or you control X. So it can special... can special itself from hand, and you can special summon an Alice from deck, which is a pre-existing Exorcista, and you cannot special summon monsters the turn you activate this effect except Exorcistas. And then classic Exorcista clause, if a card is moved out of either grave, you can special summon from your extra deck one Exorcista Xyz using this card as material, and then it's treated as a summon. Really good extender. I think Mulfa is a great design. Obviously, I think the Exorcista archetype in it by itself is a bit tough. Obviously, it being a reactive based strategy is kind of killer for it. But I think that if we do see graveyard based strategies, then obviously this does see more success. You know, we think immediately in the near future, Branded do a lot of stuff of moving stuff out of graveyards, so that is a potential for application. And then the new trap being Exorcista Litania is a normal trap, hard once per turn, and then if all monsters you control are Exorcistas, minimum one, pay 800, then target one card your opponent controls or in their grave, banish it, then you can apply one of these effects. Immediately after the trap resolves, summon an Exorcista using monster or Exorcista Xyz using monster you control, or if you have XYZ summon or Xyz summon previously this turn, you banish one card your opponent controls. One thing I would like to point out, which definitely makes me think that this is how Exorcista support will be in the future, is that Mulfa triggers if either player moves cards from the grave. It just simply says...
Oh, that's crazy.
If a card is moved out of either grave. So you have the ability with things like Exorcista packs to reborn. Or obviously, I think some of your Exorcistas can special summon one from grave. So Mulfa triggers at every instance of graveyard manipulation on either side or for either player. Which I think is probably how this support will be going forward. I think that that's... pretty good support. What are your thoughts, Joe? Obviously, Exorcista wasn't the hottest one out of Grand Creators.
No, I think I spoke to you guys earlier in the week. I read the cards briefly. I probably need to know a little bit more about what they do. But when we first discussed Exorcista, it has the problem where it is a reactive deck. Your opponent kind of has to do things for you to get going. And that's why it hasn't probably seen any, well, very little success, I suppose. I'll let Lucas quickly touch on them before I move on, but like the punk stuff already has a good base, and that's what I'll say about that.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the Exorcista support? Do you think that this is probably the model for it going forward?
I think the deck's still bad. I mean, like, they just have such a problem with their card quality. That's a big thing with support. I always like to assess whether or not the deck was good before the support, and... there's very few decks I can think of in history that received like a piece of support that you were like, oh, that fixes the entire deck. Prank Kids is like the last one I can think of that it was just like, oh no, that like makes the deck unbelievable. And yeah. This doesn't read like that. It just reads like the people who are forcing Exorcista are going to feel a little bit better about it and can actually play the game. Because I know from my small experience playing against it on Dueling Book that you can beat it by literally just not playing. You can just not play and just summon fractals and beat over their Exorcistas, and then you win the game. It is kind of embarrassing, so...
yeah.
Yeah, this is nice. I like that it triggers off both. This is probably what the cards should have said originally, but would have maybe been too strong. I don't know.
It's tough, because I think, obviously, their biggest fear with Sisters is that they didn't want Zuto. And I definitely think that...
that's a good idea.
That's... You know, I think Mulfa is probably the closest I would say that they're willing to get to becoming, like, to promoting a Zodiac 2 strategy. Moving on to, honestly, the support that's probably got the most people talking.
Yeah.
This is
new gamma target.
Like from Grand Creators, we've had the three archetypes. Obviously, in Dimension Force, we are seeing that all three Grand Creators deck building archetypes are receiving support. That being Punk, Adventure, and Exorcister. But moving to Power of the Elements, which is the new core set coming out in Japan, Adventure has been left out. But that does mean we are receiving Punk support. We are receiving a new Synchro Monster and a Field Spell. So the first of which, the Synchro Monster, is Punk Jam Dragon Drive. This is a Earth Psychic Synchro, level 8, 27-24. Requirements are one Psychic Tuner and a 1 or 1 and 1 plus non-tuner monsters. Hard once per turn on both effects. The first effect is if it is Synchro Summoned or Special Summoned by a Punk card effect, you can pay 600 life and then take a level 3 Psychic Monster from your deck and either add it to your hand or send it to the grave. Mm. The second effect is what if your opponent activates a card or effect in response to the activation of your Punk card or effects. While this card is in your grave, you can special summon it. So I think this is basically what the deck was missing.
Yep.
I think this is exactly the hole that the deck needed to be filled, obviously.
Have you ever felt bad about gammering a V-dub or getting gammered by a V-dub player? This card will just solidify that. Because they get to search a Lulu, which is so funny.
Yeah, level 3 Psychic is obviously something that Konami are wanting to play with a bit more. I wouldn't be surprised if... We've obviously seen E-Tally the 3, so I wouldn't be surprised if this is a way that they would like to progress forward. Obviously, it's saying one level 3 Psychic. That does open the field a lot. Like Lucas said, Virtual World Lulu and Nyan are level 3s. Reshadow Wendy is a level 3 Psychic. So there's definitely a lot of avenues that this effect can go forward with.
Well, it's nice because it means you can play Punk V-Dub leaning into Punk, which is arguably more consistent than V-Dub, but still get access to some of the broken V-Dub cards. I mean, I don't know if that works out in terms of a deck building perspective, if you have to put in still too many V-Dub cards to make that work. But it is cool that you just get like a generic level 3 Psychic searcher on an 8 Synchro that only requires a tuner as material, which as we know is trivial. With E-Telly.
A psychic tuner.
Yeah. So
I guess, and Joe, you saw Virtual World Punk at your regional. What are your thoughts on the deck?
It looks fun. It looks good. It looks consistent. Unfortunately, I think it's slightly overshadowed at the moment by the Adventure Engine as an engine, I suppose. What I would say about Punk, though, is it's probably the best like deck from the deck building set Grand Creators, like because Adventure like very much is an engine. I haven't seen like a pure Adventure build. I don't think there is one. I don't think you can make one.
When the night comes out, someone will try it.
But Punk, I can see going in the future like a pure Punk deck with other engines splashed into it. I feel like the Punk strategy itself like has so much stuff in it that's good. It has a searchable Imperm style card. It has Foxy Tune, which is a crazy good card.
Live Twin of the set, right? Mm. Where it's like Live Twin, everyone, like every set is like, this is the support that's going to make Live Twin like one of the best decks. And it's never going to be one of the best decks. But it is a totally playable deck.
Yeah.
And I think that's like all you can really ask of a new archetype because it's competing with so much like insane crap that even being playable is kind of an award in itself because Exorcister did not get that award.
No,
so this feels like the Live Twin where like it's not going to be a tier one threat, but it seems functional. And that new Synchro is nice. The Synchro 11 in Daifo is cool. The like retrain of
the Psychic Ruler Archfiend
kind of guy. Yeah, that's cool. Mm. I like that card.
Yeah. And then so you've got the Field Spell, which is Punk Jam Extreme Session. You can only use this card's second effect twice per turn. Obviously hard twice per turn on the effect. And the first effect is once per turn, you can banish a Punk card from your graveyard to special summon a Punk from your hand. Mm. And then the second effect is if either player pays life to activate the effect of a Psychic Monster you control, you can draw a card. So Pot of Greed, functionally. Well,
you do have to trigger paying life points. So it's not Pot of Greed, but it is good.
It's
very,
very
good.
Low condition. Very low condition.
I do wonder, because the thing is, you're going to use one of the Punks to search this, right? There's a guy that can...
Wagon.
Wagon can search a spell. So that's already one instance. And then, like, if you're not playing pure Punks, getting those two triggers is not going to be easy. So I don't think this will see... I think even in, like, Punk V-Dub, you wouldn't play this because it's just so conditional on, like, being able to routinely
get those draws. But if I'm not mistaken, you pay life points to do the quick synchros.
Yes, so, Shadow Kasai is a pay life points to quick fusion or synchro.
So where this seems cracked is like you could just play pure punk with like an E-Tele engine, a crap ton of hand traps, I guess, and you just draw four cards every turn rotation. That seems good.
Yeah. One thing I will say about it is it's going to be hilarious in a punk mirror match.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you will just draw cards because it is either player.
This is just Hyper Librarian again.
This is Hyper Librarian.
Yeah.
I think this is a super interesting strategy. Obviously, the first effect being able to special them from hand is really good. Obviously, cards like Ogre Dance search them from your deck to hand, and obviously Foxy Tune can special. What this basically is like the end result of the support that's coming out in Dimensional Force. I've spoken very highly of Norpunk Dinote being a level 5 non-tuner, which basically facilitates this level 8 synchro, which then in turn facilitates your level 11s, whether that be Amazing Dragon or Psychic End Blaster. I think this is a really good support, and it's designed in a way that it's not too accessible. Like, you think about it, if the synchro was generic, too problematic, you just give every level 8 synchro deck access to Ghost Ogre, which is a really good hand trap right now. So I think this is really nicely designed. I'm interested. I think Power of the Elements is kind of cracking up to be a decent set in terms of legacy support. Obviously, we won't cover it today, but they've just announced new Gem Knight support.
Yeah.
Which is super interesting. They've announced that Earth Fairy strategy, which is a new deck in the set. And then I think that's all the Neo stuff is really big.
Nothing like good though. Like everything's kind of on the fringe of like, this might be good. Like,
yeah.
This might be like okay in this deck, and maybe we'll see applications in that deck. But the last three sets, including Battle of Chaos, have just, again, they've been hitting us with that real mediocre crap where it's like, you know, just set after set, you know, after Burst of Destiny, where it's like, where's the meta archetypes? Where's like the new play things? Like, we're getting one or two little tech cards here and there, Guardian Chimera, we're getting, you know, Beyond the Pendulum, like, oh, these are really good cards, but like, where's the decks, you know?
We got such good DLC
in Burst of Destiny. yeah, we got such good support in Burst of Destiny. It's like, where are the design team that do that? Like, why don't we get that every set?
Yeah, where are these archetypes that you can basically buy the set and build from there?
I think you need to limit those, like, those crazy sets, right? Because they do, like, change the way the game goes, like, completely. Like, we think back to, like, Bosch, we think back to Daughter's Alliance. I would consider last year's set Burst was very much like those sets, where you look at the decks how everyone played before Burst, and now you look at the decks how everyone played after Burst. It's, like, a completely different game. Thanks to DPE and stuff, but yeah.
I think the best formats of Yu-Gi-Oh! Come from those sets, right?
Yeah, they do. But I feel like
most of the beloved formats of Yu-Gi-Oh! Like Duelist Alliance came about when they just printed like five good archetypes at once. And I just wish we got that. I just wish we got that a little bit more.
Yeah, but maybe a bit more. Maybe, but I feel like if every single set was like introducing new massive archetypes and like huge busted cards for, I suppose it would be interesting in a different way, but it might be a bit much. Like, that's
I think you just kind of get like fatigue. I think what Duelist Alliance era did quite well is that they established, you know, four or five decks that they could continually give support. And I think, admittedly, not all of it was a hit. You know, there were definitely some BA cards that were not the one. There were definitely some Clefable cards that were not the one. There's definitely Shadow cards that were not the one. And there's absolutely Satala Knight cards that aren't the one.
There's a lot of Satala Knight cards.
So it's an interesting, like, it's an interesting conundrum where you, like, we vie for this, you know, accessibility to, like, good deck building and deck cores coming out of core sets. But at the same time, not every set in that particular era gave the, you know, like what it needed to provide to every single deck. You know, there's definitely, I think a lot of people would have a lot of memories of going, this support's terrible, why would you print it? And so it's interesting to see those same notions echoed forward, essentially 8 years, where we are seeing these decks and strategies and going, it's just not what it needs. I think the biggest difference, though, is obviously the power level has very significantly increased. So our demand for playable support and pieces that are integral to new strategies or the way that they can be incorporated is much higher. You know, I think gone are the days of the wanting of a you know, when Fiend Griefing came out, I was like, oh, this is obviously a BA card. But now it would, you'd have to print a Fiend Griefing that centered his cost and then did also something else at the same time.
So what about a Fiend Griefing that pops a card on the field? That'd yeah. be crazy, yeah. right?
So I think that it's, you know, it essentially that's what we're asking for. You know, I guess, you look at this.
Yeah. yeah. Assessing things, I guess what we're lacking is, you know, from Dauntless Alliance, we moved into new challengers, and new challengers like brought out the support that made Clifford kind of the deck it was, right? It made Clifford, and it was a playable deck straight away. Wrong thing I'm thinking about here. I was thinking more secret, like, even then, like, Secrets of Eternity would come out, and, like, Stealth became a thing. Like, there was always a busted card for an art type that existed. And I guess that's what we've kind of lost a little bit. We've got that, the only one in recent time I can think of was, like, maybe Diviner for Drytron, but, like, there's not a lot that's anymore.
Light fairy support, like, that
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I get what you're meaning, Joe, is that, like, you would have an archetype in Duelist Alliance. You're like, oh, this one's not as good as the other ones. And then they release the next set, and you'd be like, oh, now it's crazy.
Mm. I remember and Diamond coming out, yeah. Versus
we're having a lot of experiences. Exactly, can steal a diamond. We're having a lot of experiences with TCG archetypes lately where it's like, Bee Trooper, oh, this deck's really cool. What's the next support? Oh, it's ass. It's terrible. Yeah. And like, we just don't get to transition it from, like, I agree that it would be overwhelming if these decks all came out as
all
powerful,
the time. Yeah.
Full power Orcus or full power Sky Striker or whatever, if we got that like every set. But at the same time, the fallout support has to be good. And as much as I like this Punk and Exorcist support, it still doesn't read to me like, oh, the deck is complete. I completely understand what it's going for. It, you know, Clefort went through many massive transitions after Towers, after new challenges. Yeah. I don't foresee Punk changing at all. Like, it's still going to be the good cards, and you put in the new good cards, and you play as many hand traps as you can, and you hope for the best, because you're up against a deck that's just unequivocally going to be stronger than yours, be it branded or whatever Dragon Link looks like at that point, whatever people end up doing.
I think that's actually a really good example as well, because, like, I mean, for me, Bee Trooper, I remember I bought their deck and I was super, super hyped about it. And I was like, well, this is really cool. And if it did follow that same sort of recipe that decks used to follow, the next wave of support should have pushed it further. And, like, it wouldn't have been DPE turbo with bees. It would be, like, an actual cool insect deck that did something. Like, And it still does something, but it needed that extra bit of spice to, like, kind of bring it forward even further, and it never got.
It feels like we've got filler and then the pushed archetypes, and there's nothing very clearly in between. Like, I like V-Dub right now because it's tier 2. It was not tier 2 when it came out. It was pushed as hell. It was the best deck. It had to get banned. Drytron, pushed as hell. It was the best deck. Had to get banned. Now we've got Adventure. We're going to have Branded. It pushed as hell. It's going to be the best deck. And everything that isn't that feels very forgotten. Like, where's the plunder support that makes that deck playable? We've been waiting for so long, and people are having to jam Adventure into it to make it even top. I wish there was more dual avatar support that actually capitalized on the 5 tokens you produce and don't just make crappy fusions. I wish there was mutant support that gave them a realistic way to set up turn one plays. Where is all this crap? Feels like they put all of the design effort into Adventure being crazy and then forgot to do the other stuff.
Yeah.
Not to say that those other decks aren't fun to play and they don't have cool strategies that have been devised. And I'm sure when Valiant flops, there'll be people who, like, really want to play it and lab it and find cool stuff you can do. But I don't think it's going to be that deck. And you can really tell the winners and losers so quickly. Whereas, again, I think in Duelist Alliance, people couldn't really write a deck off because it was just one busted card away from being the next best deck. Interesting thoughts.
I agree.
Yeah. It's a demand for good support, but, you know, not like the crazy overpowered, wow, I can't believe they printed this for the deck.
Yeah, kind of. It's too much in one. And I'm just not going to buy a pack of Daifo or Power of the Elements yet. There's nothing in those that I want to open packs for. I'll open Tactical Masters because I want to play two of the decks, but I don't know if these core sets are going to have it for me.
Yeah,
just print more Hero Starlights, then Lucas will have to buy them.
You got me there. me there, baby. I'll buy Ghost in the Past 2 if there's hero cards in it.
Absolutely. And speaking of lottery and chance.
That's right.
Lottery and chance.
It's time.
It is time. We thank you so much to everyone, first of all, for who has entered our giveaway.
Oh.
Obviously.
Oh, sorry. Yes. I will interrupt. just quickly just do a small little report on the Palmerston Regional. Yeah. Just a quick one. I'd like to thank...
The giveaway is cancelled. No.
Yeah, just
No, I'd just like to quickly just thank everyone that came along. We had a really good day. It was just went nice and smoothly. Everyone seemed to enjoy themselves. They got cool prizes. The mats looked really nice. The deck boxes were amazing.
Deck boxes so
they are very cool in person as well. Yeah, and I'd just like to congratulate Nick Asprey for taking out the whole tournament with Tri-Brigade Luralisk, and he went 8-0 all day. Yeah. So
that's we talked a lot of crap about that deck, and I guess he was there to prove us wrong.
I mean, I was watching him, and he, I think people just forgot that Ensemble Robin is like actually a really good card.
Crazy.
And sometimes that and Double Dragon Lords is enough to just win you games. And I saw boards all the time where he was just making that and Double Dragon Lords after he got like hand trapped. And then they were playing into it and they're like, hang on a second, I can't win.
Yep.
And then, yeah.
I talked about with one of our podcasts about how payoffs have gotten smaller, but the bare minimum has gotten better. And that's like one of the core defining factors of new Yu-Gi-Oh! Is all you're trying to do is play through hand traps to get to a bare minimum that wins you the game. And I think Luralisk Tri-Brigade is still pretty good at doing that. Because making a Double Dragon Lords and an Ensemble is so easy if your opponent wastes their hand traps trying to stop you from building the board that we know wins the game, obviously. The old board.
Mm. But yeah, anyway, I won't go into a full report. Everything else is pretty standard. Lots of PK adventure. There was two Cyber Dragon decks in top 8, though. And I'd like to congratulate the Troy, who it was his first ever top, and he's still in school, so, and he's on a budget, and he OTK'd everyone all day with Cyber Dragon, so it was cool to see. So yeah, but
rocks.
Apart from that, like we won't go into it too much. It was a good day, and thanks everyone for coming.
Swag.
Okay. The power of machines.
So back the
back to it
giveaway. We're gonna be spinning this wheel. Remember, if you win and you are subscribed, we will be checking. You will win a Face Downs custom, well, currently custom 1 of 4 t-shirt with our logo and our lovely design on it, and a Shadow Showdown structure deck mat with your choice of Shadow Steve signature. Maybe not, actually, that's a little tricky, but you know what I'm talking about. It's Shadow Steve's prize, baby. The Shadow Showdown structure mat and the t-shirt. So should we spin the wheel?
Let's big money, big money, people, big money.
Where's the wheel? I can see it.
Oh, I'm spinning the wheel right now.
Oh,
I forgot.
Big money, big money, big money.
And Hengineer 717, you are the winner. I don't know who that is, but we will get in touch via YouTube where you left a comment.
Congratulations,
doll. You will be winning the prize. And if any of you feel really left out about not getting a Face Downs t-shirt, we'll probably do merch of them eventually. But we'll make sure that they're different, so this person still gets a special, exclusive team member shirt. Feel free to impersonate us and steal our identity anytime you like.
Yeah, obviously, if you wanted to see how this shirt looks, you can feel free to head to the Your Move TCG Facebook page, which is I'm lovely modeling it along with my amazing playmat that I won for the OTS championship. So yeah, congratulations, and thank you to everyone who has entered the giveaway. Obviously 100 is a huge milestone for us, so very much very thankful for all the support that you've shown. Thank you once again to everyone who has provided us with the listens, the follows, the discussions, come up to us at events. And I guess, yeah, thanks so much.
All right. And with that, that brings us to the end of another episode of The Face Downs.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. So much that we've talked about. I guess final thoughts before we go. Anything that you'd like to see banned or unbanned? Anything that anyone's excited for?
I don't know. Verte? They're not going to ban Adventure.
I'm kind of excited to get my Adventure package in the mail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've taken the plunge, and
us.
I've decided
one
to...
of us. Yeah. One of us.
it's kind of one of those things where it was like a necessary evil that I had to buy in the end. And yeah, I've got it now, so whatever.
Necessary. I play Fluanda. That's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, I have Fluanda, but branded is what I have been hyped on for a long time.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Well, I guess, you know, speaking of branded, broken things and things that you need to keep an eye out for us. obviously, thanks so much to everyone who has listened and given us the support so far, and will continue to provide support as we hope to provide you with more content. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you are listening along with us on YouTube, please feel free to like, comment, and subscribe. It does help us out. Share it with a friend if you're listening to us on your preferred podcasting app. Give us a follow and leave us a review. Obviously, it helps a lot. If you have any questions, queries, comments, or concerns, you can feel free to email us at thefacedowns@gmail.com for anything that you'd like to know about. You can follow us on Twitter. Those will be linked in the description as well as on the YouTube video. As always, thank you so much for listening. I'm Ruben.
I'm Lucas.
And I'm Joe.
And you've been listening to
The Face Downs.
Oh, yeah.